Well, good morning and welcome to worship. I'm going to invite you to stand across this room. It's so good to be together today. In the presence of the Lord, let's worship Him.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us the child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
You believe that today?
Forevermore, forevermore. He
the name of Jesus.
Glory to the newborn King. We're here today, the last worship service of 2021, to give glory to the newborn King, to proclaim that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Please be seated for just a moment. I'm Mike Buster. I serve as your executive pastor here at Preston Wood, and it's my privilege just to bring a word of welcome this morning. We are thrilled that you are here and that you are online. I know we have a great deal of people that are joining us online this morning, and we want to give a word of welcome to you. And if you're a guest with us, either online or in this place, and I know we have many guests, we want to connect with you. And you can connect with us by texting 74 to 74788, the word guest. So if you want to just take your cell phones out, even if you're online, and text the word guest to 74788. And we'll look forward to connecting with you. Now, if you're a guest here in the worship center, then we want to meet you this morning at Guest Central. We have some belated Christmas gifts that we want to give you. We really do. We've got some things we want to put in your hands. So after this service, I will be down at Guest Central, and many of our ministers will be there, and we'll look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better in the days ahead. Well, our pastor is out this morning. He, this week, is getting some rest and relaxation done, as he is well-deserved, and preaching in his absence this morning is our own associate pastor, Neil Jeffrey. And we look forward to hearing Neil in just a few moments. Well, 2021 has been an incredible year of ministry in the life of our church, as so many churches have struggled coming out of the pandemic, trying to gather back. We have seen the favor of God as never before upon our church, as we have sought to advance the mission of Prestonwood. And here at the end of the year, let me remind you what our mission is here. The mission of Prestonwood is to glorify God by introducing Jesus Christ as Lord to as many people as possible and develop them in Christian living using the most effective means to impact the world, making an eternal difference in this generation. That's our mission statement. We often say the measuring stick for success is changed lives. 2021 has been a record-setting year of seeing God transform people's lives. It's happened in so many different ways. Just this past week, we had 75,000 people in this room. We saw some 1,022 people accept Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. That's worth celebrating. But let me remind you that that's just one of hundreds of ministries and mission endeavors that we do here at Prestonwood, and we get to experience it, whether it's from our special needs ministry to our pregnancy center to PowerPoint to our kids ministry. Hundreds, literally, of these ministries and mission opportunities week in and week out throughout the year. And the biggest question that I get is, how does all of this happen? Well, it's because of you. It's because of ordinary people that God uses for extraordinary means. In other words, people like me and you sacrificially give week in and week out. God blesses it. He multiplies it like the fish and the loaves, and He uses it to do exceedingly, abundantly, far beyond what we could think, hope, or imagine. That's why we're seeing lives change. That's why we're seeing people experience the grace of God and the presence of God here at Prestonwood. Now, throughout this year, I've kind of noticed we hadn't talked a lot about giving. You hadn't heard our pastor preach a message on giving. Maybe because we don't pass the offering plates anymore. You know, the pandemic kind of did away with the passing of the offering plates and that offertory prayer that we would have. But I thought it would be good here before the end of the year just to remind us not only why we give, but how we give. And we've got three different ways, basically, that you can give here at Prestonwood. One is the old-fashioned way, with check or cash. Yes, we still do checks and cash. And we have our offering boxes available at all of our exits. You have in the pew rack in front of you, you see offering envelopes that you can always take a handful of those and take them home with you. And even this week, you may want to do that and just mail a check. And this week, of course, the 31st, last day of the year is Friday, so it would need to be postmarked by the end of the year if you would like for it to go towards our 2021 ministry budget. But another way that you can give at Prestonwood is through our giving kiosks. They're available throughout the atrium and around our facilities, and really, you use a credit card or a debit card when you do that, but feel free to use our giving kiosks throughout the week. This week, even our offices will be open. There'll be somebody here at the front desk throughout this week to help you with all of that. And then the third way is through our online, which is the way 80% of you and me, not 80% of me, but 100% of me, we give online. And the way you can do this is just go to our website, or you can text GIVE to 74788, or you can download the app like I've done, and the app's amazing. You can set up a recurring gift, a one-time gift. It's very simple. It's safe. It's secure. It's a step-by-step. So I encourage you to give online. But the bottom line is, you cannot give God. Amen? We are so blessed. We know that it all comes from God. And it all really goes back to God. Here at Prestonwood, we believe in tithing, that we're to give 10% of our income in and through the local church. And then we also believe in generous giving. That is, above and beyond the tithe, ministries and mission endeavors that God puts on our heart to support. Even as you go to our website, you'll see a listing of all of our different ways you can designate above and beyond the tithe. And at the top of the list, it's our World Missions offering. This is the month that we really emphasize. We would like all members to be a part of our World Missions offering. Every dollar that is given goes to local or global missions. So please support our World Missions offering. But bottom line is, we want to finish 2021 strong and then look forward to advancing the mission through serving and giving in 2022. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we know that we're most like Jesus when we're giving. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son. And Father, we give back to you. We thank you for your blessing, your favor upon our church this year. God, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful. Be good stewards of all that you've given us. And Father, we know that giving is just another act of worship. And right now, Father, we just want to worship you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be very real and evident in this place, online with those that are watching and listening. We pray for Neil as he comes to share a message from you. And pray, God, you would give us open hearts to receive that which you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me as we continue to worship this morning? Great are you, Lord, your breath. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. You do, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, oh. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, oh. You deserve
when heaven broke through time and the face of our salvation lay in a manger that night.
across the sky in a scarlet revelation, unveiling love so divine. Glory to God in the highest, praise Him without end. Glory to God in the highest, forever and ever, amen. There is nothing that can stop. Redemption been released from the stable through the ages, setting the prisoner free.
You're here. Let me welcome all of you who are here in the building. Gosh, it's great to have somebody here. I had no idea who was going to come, and you showed up. It's great to have you. I'm so glad you'd be here. And of course, online, I know we got a bunch of people online. I had a bunch of folks tell me that, and so we welcome every one of you, whoever you are, wherever you are. And if you're a guest in this service, and I know you guys are guests, right? From England, I heard.
Denmark.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad you're here. And it's great to have you, because everybody, we're so glad you're here. Neil Jeffrey's my name, and it's my privilege to get to preach today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Now, I know this is the day after Christmas. We're moving toward the new year, and 2022, which is incredible. And but I want to look at this passage of the Christmas story one more time, I do stutter. I know I stutter. I'm a stutterer.
And it's you never know. It can be exciting sometimes, but just stay with me. I know it's exciting for you, but just imagine how exciting it is for me. But anyway, Luke 2. Here's the main thoughts I want us to get. And ultimately, what I'm praying happens today is we look at this story. We might be reminded of some incredible truths as we go forward and onward. Because the main points are these. Here's the whole idea in this story. And in those days back then, but also in these days today and in our lives. God is in control of everything. And he uses everything. And he does miracles. Miracles are all over the story. Because God is a miraculous God. And you know what else? And his plan is going to get done. It got done in this story. Even though it's all kind of opposition. There's the Roman Empire that's against this. There's Herod. There's Caesar. All of that. But you know what? God's will got done then. You know what? God's will is going to get done today. You know what? God's will get done forever, because it's God's will. It's God. He's over all this thing. He's in control of all this thing. And he uses everything to accomplish his plan and purpose. And what's incredible in this story, and also for you and I, is you know how he gets it done? He gets it done through people. He chose a teenage girl to do an incredible thing in her life. A young man named Joseph, we know hardly anything about, but he uses this man, this woman, to give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, who now we have salvation and all that we have because of him. God uses that. And the bottom line is this: our God is in control. His truth, God is marching on. His church will prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we as Christians are just to trust him, to obey him, to follow him, to just say, I believe, and I'm going to live. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. That's the point. That's the message. We could stop right now and just go home, because that's the whole thing right there. That's it. But I'm supposed to preach this whole message. So let me read this one more time, this Christmas story. It's glorious. It's just so beautiful, so powerful, and there's so many incredible truths. Let me do this. Verse 1. Luke 2, verse 1 says this. In those days, that's going to be a major part of this message, in those days. Because obviously things were happening in those days. Things were happening in these days today. But it doesn't matter if it was those days or way back days or in the middle age. It doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter. But God's in control of everything. He's going to use everything. And he's going to use you and me to accomplish his plan and purpose. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for him to give birth, for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same reason, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be to all the people." And this is the statement. This is the good news of great joy. This is one of the greatest statements ever. It may be the greatest statement in the history of the world. Here's the statement. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the statement of all statements. That's the point of this story. That's the point of Christmas. That ultimately is the point of everything. Because it's all about Jesus. Now, in this story, this is the point of the Christmas story. There is born a Savior who will forgive us of our sins. When the angel told Joseph what the name of this boy is going to be, the angel said, you can name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He's our Savior. And he is Christ, the Messiah, who has the kingdom. And one day that kingdom will be born on the earth way in the future, but that kingdom can be born in our hearts, in your lives. He's Christ, he's Messiah, and he's Lord. He's the one who at the end time, he's first of all things. All things were made by him, all things were made for him. And every knee is going to bow, every time is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who this is. This whole story is about Jesus. Now, there's a bunch of people then, in those days, who didn't even know about it, who didn't even accept it. Rome was like that. Caesar was like that. They could care less about any of this. You know, there's some in our day who could care less about any of this. They don't want Jesus to be a part of this thing. But you know what? Jesus is a part of this thing. He is he's a central factor of the whole story. You know what? It's interesting because all of history, and this is fascinating, all of history and all the Bible before this pointed to this moment when the Messiah would come, when the Savior would be born, when Christ the Lord would arrive here on the earth. Of course, what after that, he lives his life, which is the gospel stories and all the things that he did, all he taught, all he said, all the miracles, all those things. And then, of course, he's crucified on the cross for our sins. And we have salvation because he did on the cross, as he died, which is the gospel. He lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again. He did all of that, and then he ascended into heaven. And now all of history, everything is pointed before to Jesus being here. While he was here, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus now. He's gone there. One day he's coming back. And it's all pointed now toward Jesus. One day he's coming back. And after he comes back, for all of eternity, he's going to be worshiping Jesus. The point is, this whole thing is about Jesus. Now, a whole lot of people just don't like that. I mean, Caesar, he didn't like that. Herod, he didn't like that. So many of the people that time didn't. Today, they don't like that, but that does not change the fact of who Jesus is. And it does not change the fact what I believe. And it doesn't change the fact, it shouldn't, of what I'm going to do with my life while I'm here. That's the point. He said, I'm getting off track a little bit. Although, really, that is the track right there. Then verse 12, he says, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away and then to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing, what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and they found Mary and they found Joseph and they found the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this sign. They had seen the sign. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been. First point is God is in control. And what's amazing is because in this whole story, Caesar is ruling. Rome dominates in the world, the whole world. In those days, Rome was in charge of everything. And Caesar is ruler. I mean, this guy, Caesar Augustus, is one of the worst humans who ever lived. I mean, he was just ungodly. He was unrighteous. He was cruel. He just, you know, in Rome, you didn't have any freedoms. You didn't have any rights. These were not good days in many ways. Rome dominated. Now, there was a thing known as Roman peace. Of course, Rome had peace everywhere. You know why they had peace everywhere? If you didn't do what they wanted you to, they'd just kill you. I mean, it was not a good time to be alive. You know, think about that. Just in all of history, man, just how hard times have been in those days, in past days, and just in the last century here in America, just all the things, the wars, all that stuff. Hey, those were hard, tough days. These are tough days as well, what we're facing and going through. And what was happening around Mary and Joseph was hard and difficult, but in their own lives, it was hard and it was a struggle. Mary and Joseph had to go from Galilee to Bethlehem to be registered. That's an 80-mile journey on a donkey, pregnant. There is no way traveling on all that way. How miserable that had to be. Just not being at home, having a baby, just in another world, just in. It wasn't even a room. It was a stable, a little cave. Are you kidding me? And alone, nobody to help. In this place, there is no way. You know, there's a little song about this thing. This is such a strange way to save the world. All of it was a struggle. It was all a challenge, the whole thing. But the point is, all of this was God's plan. I mean, it was prophesied, all this stuff. And from heaven's perspective, even though, you know, Mary and Joseph are having a hard time and they're struggling and it wasn't fun, it was tough and dirty and all that stuff. But in the midst of this whole thing, nobody cares who they are. Nobody knows who they are. But heaven knows who they are. God knows who they are. God gave them assignment and all they're doing is just following that. God knows. God cares. He is with them. He's in them. Hey, Caesar is ruling this thing, but God is in control of this thing. He's got his hand in the middle of all of that. Hey, that's true then, in those days, people, that is true today. And the whole world, you think, it's out of control, it's just bizarre, it's just all these, and in our lives, all kinds of things happen to you, all things happen to me, the struggles. Hey, the point is, our God is in control. And we can trust him in the midst of all these things. You know, there's three verses real quick. Now I got to hurry through this, but just three verses, just for me, just powerfully. And one little phrase I want to give you today that I saw this and it just powerfully impacted my life. Here are the three verses. First, Romans 8, 28. You know this verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose. All things, everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, doesn't matter what it is. And doesn't matter where it is. It can happen in Washington, D.C. that comes down. In the world, it doesn't matter. God uses all things because he's in control of all things, and he uses all things. Second verse is this, James 1, 2 through 4. He says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters. When you meet various trials, and you have trials, tough times, Mary and Joseph had them, I have them, we all have them. He says, rejoice, count it all joy. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Hey, you're going through the hard times. Hey, he said, count it all joy. Why? Because, you know, our God who's in control, who uses everything, he doesn't waste anything. He's using this to accomplish three things in me, to make me perfect in him, everything he created me to be, complete in him, do everything he wants me to do on this earth, and lacking in nothing, to experience I have everything I need to face, anything I'm going to face in life. How do you get there? It's through the struggles. It's through the challenges. And then this verse, and this is what just blew me away. 1 Peter 1, 6 says, and I've read this a bunch of times, but I just saw this little phrase. In this you rejoice, he said. He's speaking about trials and suffering. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary. That's the phrase. You have been grieved by various trials. Trials may be necessary. To do what? So that the tested genuineness of your faith more precious than gold, my faith gets to be tested. And if it's tested, I can trust it and live in it. And more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. And the result of that test is, at the end, I be faithful in the midst of that test. In the end, there is praise, honor, and glory to Jesus Christ because of those things. Ultimately, the whole purpose of life is to live in such a way that our lives bring praise, honor, and glory to Him. Well, we do that in how we respond to trials, if necessary, is the phrase. Now, think about this. Hey, now, I'm not sure how to really illustrate this, but just it's the idea that maybe Mary and Joseph could have asked God. Now, I'm not saying this happened, but just think about this. Mary and Joseph could have asked God. God. Is all this struggle part unnecessary? Hey, Caesar, I mean, he's such an ungodly guy. Why is he on the throne? I mean, he's so pathetic. Why that? Is that necessary? And God, I guess, said, yes. Well, is this struggle of going 80 miles and all this stuff on the donkey, is that necessary? Yes. Well, just all the things I'm experiencing and just going through the story, the journey, Bethlehem, the struggle, the unknown, the ridicule, the questions, the stable, and is all that necessary? Yes. You know, I guess the Apostle Paul could have asked the Lord, Lord, is all this hardship I've gone through, these beatings and all these things, and actually he writes this statement in Philippians 1, 21, he says this. He says, Philippians 1, 21, he says, Paul said, hey, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Now, when Paul wrote that, he had had two, humanly speaking, miserable years. He'd been arrested in Caesarea, beaten within an inch of a life. He appears to Rome as a Roman citizen. He gets on a boat going there. He gets shipwrecked. The ship is destroyed. They swim to an island. I spend 6 months on the island, end up in Rome as a prisoner. Now he's in prison. He always wanted to preach. To go to Rome and to preach a great crusade. He's not there now as a preacher. He's there as a prisoner. But yet he says, hey, all of these things have happened to me because it's God's plan. He's in control. And all of these things have actually advanced the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he could have said, is all this necessary? And he could have also said, hey, God. And even asked this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. He says, hey, is this thorn necessary? He even asked, Lord, take this thorn away. And God said to him, yes, it is, because you're going to experience, because of this thorn, my grace is enough for you, and that my power is made perfect in weakness. He said, is it necessary? God says, yes. You know, I could ask that question. Here's a good question for me to ask. Hey, God, is this whole stuttering thing necessary? What God, I believe, would say to me is, son, yes. Because this is what I've used to accomplish what I have wanted to accomplish in your life, which is to perfect you, to complete you, and have you experience that God is enough for anything you're going to face in life. And the ultimate result is, son, you just be faithful with this. And the end, there's praise, honor, and glory to Jesus Christ because of this thing. You could ask him, hey, about your situation. And we all got situations. Just name it, whatever it is, 10,000 different things in all of our lives. God isn't necessary. God just may say yes, because I'm in charge. I'm in control of everything. And I'm going to use everything to accomplish my plan and purpose in your life and also through your life, so my plan is completed, just like it was back then, just like it is now. You know what, Jesus even asked his father this question in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Lord, is the cross necessary? He said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And God, but Jesus, as we know, he said it immediately, not my will, but your will be done. God said, my son, yes, this cross is necessary. And of course, the cross was awful, but out of the cross, we get the resurrection. That's the point. Our God is in control. He's using everything in your life, in my life, whatever it is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We just need to be faithful to him and trust him because God is in control, and God is a miracle working God. He does everything. And this whole story, I don't have time for all this, but everything about this story is a miracle. Everything. I mean, it's just incredible how Mary and Joseph got from Bethlehem from Galilee to Bethlehem. Then, of course, 80 miles for us now is no big deal. Some guys commute 80 miles every day. Then it was impossible to go 80 miles. 3 days journey on. I mean, there's no way. How did they get from here to there? Well, Micah in the Bible, Matthew 5:2, the prophecy is the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. And it was a miracle, but God accomplished it. So Mary and Joseph are at the right place at the right time. So in the fullness of time, that which was prophesied 650 years before this event happens. It was a miracle. How he moved all the angels from heaven to the skies over Bethlehem, just outside of Bethlehem, to speak to the shepherds. Now, I don't know if you saw a gift of Christmas and that whole scene with the shepherds up here and the angels are going all over the place. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I've seen it 100 times. Lights everywhere. I mean, it's incredible. Well, just imagine, it's not our guys and gals on pulleys doing that. It's really happening. Heaven opens up, and there's an angel there who says what he says, and then they sing the song, Glory to God in the highest. That's a miracle. How'd that happen? We don't know. We can't explain it. God does miracles. And then he moves these shepherds from there to, and they said, there's a sign, and they're looking for the sign, and they found the sign. They actually go to the stable in Bethlehem. Luke 2:15 says that, and they found it. It was a miracle. And the wise men, and that star, what's that star? We don't know what that star was, but it was God. It was the glory of God somehow. We don't, I mean, scholars have looked at that, explained that. We don't know, but the bottom line, it's a miracle what God did. All of these things. God moved that star from where it was to there, and it all ended up over the place. But the greatest miracle of us all in this whole story is that God became a man to show us what God's like, to show us how much he loves us, to show us to die for us on the cross. It's just a miracle. You know what? Dr. Graham sent a thing out a few weeks ago about a Christmas. He says this. It's a great little deal, a devotional. When Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, President Nixon hailed it as the most important event in human history. Well, the second, 2 years later, astronaut Jim Irwin walked on the moon. And later, as he reflected on that, he says the most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood on the earth. It's a miracle. God does miracles. That's what he does. That's what he did in those days. Hey, that's what he does today. And then you think, hey, I don't see any miracles. Then you say, hey, I want to remind you a couple of things about miracles. You know, for me in my life, the greatest miracle there ever was, has been, is that Jesus Christ saved me. I got born again, forgiven of my sins and all the junk in my life, cleansed of that stuff, made a new creation. I'm not the same man as I was before because of Jesus. That's a miracle. Actually, that's the greatest miracle in the universe. You know what else is a miracle that I have now? Hey, I've got eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a miracle. Do you know what had to happen for me to get that? It did happen. I believe it. I've accepted it. It's a miracle. You know what else? He lives within me. Colossians 1:27. Hey, the hope. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is in me. That's the miracle of his birth. Then he's born here. A miracle of salvation is that he was born in my heart, in my life, and he lives with me. And a miracle of the Bible is a miracle. It's the word of God. It's God's word for me. Just imagine just how we even got this. It's a miracle. How it was written, it's a miracle. How it was prayed, it's a miracle. It's God's word, and it's for me. And it's a word from God for my life, for me, for living, for wisdom, for truth, for all of this. And you know what else is a miracle? Hey, I can pray anytime, anywhere, and God, I'm talking God, hears me. And he answers me. And you know what else? He talks to me. And you say, no way. Well, it's a miracle, yes. I don't understand it, but the Bible says that, hey, he allows us into the Holy of Holies to receive help and mercy and grace in the time of need. We can pray that's a miracle. And I'm forgiven. Anytime I sin, you know what I do? 1 John 1:9 says, hey, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me. That's a miracle. That's incredible. You know what else, God? Now, you know, I started thinking about this. Hey, if you haven't seen a miracle recently, you know a good way to do that? Maybe today. Let's tell somebody else about Jesus. It's just share your faith in Jesus. The miracle happened to you. It can happen to somebody else. And you're part of a miracle. Or just pray for somebody else. And watch God do a super. You know, one of the greatest miracles that there is that God uses me. Uses you. Use Mary, Joseph, shepherds, wise men. Actually, he'll use anybody who'll just say yes to Jesus, who'll say, I believe. It just brings me to my last point. It is that, hey, what's my response going to be? Well, you know what? I want to respond the way Mary, Joseph, shepherd, and wise men responded. First of all, you know what? They believed in their God. They believed in God. God gave Mary an impossible story. There's no way out of this thing. Mary didn't say how. What did she? All she said was, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to thy word. She just surrendered to the Lord her life and was submissive to whatever God wanted to do. She didn't have an answer. Actually, she didn't need an answer. She had God. You know, too many people spend their whole life, I got to have proof. All the proof we need is in Jesus, who he is, what he said. She just surrendered. You know what? This year, I want to surrender my life totally and completely to Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm yours, and be submissive. Whatever you want me to do, whatever it is, regardless of what anybody else says, I'm willing to obey. And then Joseph, he was just obedient. I mean, he was a just man, but you know, he just did whatever God told him to do. And God told him, hey, this incredible story about his betrothed. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to do all this. All he did was when God told him what to do, he just obeyed and did it. For example, he was going to dismiss her as his wife privately and all that stuff. But God said, hey, you take her as your wife. He did. And he said, you keep her as a virgin. You don't have sex with her until this baby is born, which is a huge assignment. But he did. He obeyed. Then you take her and this child before it's born to Bethlehem. He did. You name the child Jesus where you save his people from sin. You know, he did. You take her now to Egypt because those who are ruling want him dead. He did. You to protect her and this child. You provide for her. He did. Now you can leave Egypt. And come home. He did. Return to the land of Israel. He did. You take her and the baby to Galilee because he's going to be a Nazarene, raised in Nazareth because he's going to be a Nazarene. He did that. You raise the boy well. And the Bible says, Luke 2:52 says that Jesus grew in favor and stature with God and man. You know, somewhere in there, Joseph died, is off the scene. We don't know anything about him, but he had an assignment. God gave it to him in the midst of all that's going on. He faithfully did what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to finish the race, and I'm going to keep the faith. Joseph just obeyed. You know what I want to do this next year? I want to obey Jesus. Obey his word, whatever he says. And you know what? Shepherds and wise men just heard, just saw, they believed, they obeyed, they followed, they came, they found, they worshiped, they brought gifts, they did all that stuff. They got it. People, so many back then just did not get it. Rome didn't, Caesar didn't, Herod missed it, the religious leaders missed the whole thing, the innkeeper somehow, he may have gotten it later, but he missed some of it. But you know what? Some got it. Some believed. And obeyed. You know, it's just, in one sense, it doesn't matter. Now it does matter. Everything matters. I know it does. But in one sense, as far as me being a Christian and being a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world around me. We get so dominated by circumstances. We just remember none of the circumstances matter. What matters is the Christ. Who's the same in those days, the same in these days, and the same forever. He's in control of all things. He's using all things to accomplish his plan, his purpose to bring him glory. He can do anything. Nothing's impossible for him, and he can use me to accomplish this plan. I'm going to be faithful to him. You know what? Some of us in this room, and I know who you are, going through the hardest experiences of life. But you know what? They've been faithful to Jesus, just surrendered to him, following him in the midst of the hardest trial, hardest experience ever. They're just trusting Jesus. And you know, for them, this is their finest hour. There's a man in this room who lost his wife, just lost his wife. We're going to do her service. And for a year and more, he just faithfully honored her, served her every day by her side, fixed her breakfast every day, took her to all those appointments, everything, just day by day by day. He used to be so involved here, but he couldn't be involved here anymore because he just did that. And you know what? I was with him one time, Charles Abraham, and I was seeing him. We looked at him and said, hey, this, as much as the struggle, this is your finest hour of just following Jesus. We got a lady in our church whose husband, and I can cry just talking about this. Her husband has dementia. He doesn't even know who she is anymore. And I talk to her and she just cries. I cry, we cry. But you know, I told her, hey, this, your faithfulness to Jesus, your faithfulness to her, you just holding his hand until Jesus takes, this is your finest hour. That's the point. Hey, it doesn't matter what's happening around. What matters is we got a God. And he is marching through all of history, always has. He's marching now. The Church of Jesus Christ is going forward. And our assignment is just to say, Jesus, I'm on board. I'm going forward. I'm trusting you because you're in control and I can trust you. And I want you to use me. Would you bow your heads? We're going to have just a moment of prayer, a moment of invitation. We always give an invitation. We always do. And I'm a little bit long and I apologize for that. We're going to take a moment. And there may be a person in this room, and you know what you need to do. You need to believe in Jesus. Everything you've believed in has just never panned out. It's just empty. There's nothing there. Hey, you believe in Jesus, there's something there. There's the God of the universe. There's the Savior of the world who will forgive you of your sins. There's the Christ who wants to come and live in you and reign in your heart. And there's the Lord who's in control of all things. And today there's a man, there's somebody here in this room, and we stand and sing in just a moment. You need to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, today I believe in Jesus. And I'm taking a serious step in this thing, and I'm going to step in the aisle and walk down the front and tell one of these guys, one of these ministers, I'm believing in Jesus. Now, most of us in the room, I know, have made that decision. You believe. But maybe the commitment in your heart is, you need to say, as Mary said, Lord, I'm willing. You do whatever you want to do in my life. Send me anywhere you want me to go. Give whatever you want me to give. Do whatever you want me to do. God, I want you to do completely, fully, in every way your will in my life for your glory and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you need to say, God, I just the commitment I need to make today is I just need to obey. Just what God says, to trust him and to obey him and just to follow Jesus until he takes us all the way home. Lord, I pray for these moments as we stand in just a moment, as we sing, as we have a time of invitation, of just asking the people to make a commitment to you, maybe to make a commitment to you, maybe someone who just wants to join this church. God, you say what you want to say. You do what you want to say in our hearts, and may we just respond. Either physically, visibly in this service or in our hearts, just make a surrender of our life to you. God bless these moments, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.